Everybody jump, jump, jump.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. A good, good Friday morning to one and all. It is Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
He's got Mike and Billy across the way. John Fast with your updates here on this Friday morning as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Everything's good.
Everything's good.
You're good.
It's
Friday.
Friday.
Happy. We got a lot of football coming up, a lot of college football, and for the next couple of days, which is going to be great. Love the Friday night games. I'm a big fan of tonight. Watch a lot of the games. Locked in. Feel a little under the weather. But I'm here, battling through it, making it through the rain.
Yes, I feel better. I know you're dealing with a little bit of a cold, a little bit of a summer cold.
Yeah,
so hang in there. Tommy Bowden will join us, ACC network analyst, former head coach in college football, will join us coming your way in the third and final hour as we'll preview a little bit of the college football season, look ahead to the games this weekend as well, and get his thoughts on some of the better matchups, including Auburn and Oregon, which takes place over the weekend. It's probably one of the bigger matchups of the weekend between those two programs. But we begin with a program that Tommy Bowden used to coach, and that was the Clemson Tigers, who last night, an early ACC matchup at home against Georgia Tech, and we know all the expectations. Number one in the land are the Clemson Tigers. The brand of college football overtaking Alabama after the destruction of the Crimson Tide last year in the national championship game, and they have their way with Georgia Tech. 52-14 was the final. Lawrence throws a couple interceptions, but still, Etienne was absolutely brilliant for Clemson. And, you know, they've been, in a conference that's not overly as strong as the SEC, they're clearly right now, I would say, probably the favorite over Alabama to win yet another national championship. And last night they showed you why.
Yeah, no, for sure. They were dominant right away. And I watched a good chunk of the game, definitely the first three quarters, but it became a blowout. They got shut out, Tech did, the first half, zero, nothing, no points. You know, and Clemson just Travis Etienne, the running back, okay, he's had over 200 yards rushing. So he's just picked up where he left off last year. He was a great back for the Tigers last year and showing again now, a year older, bigger, stronger, faster. His explosiveness is unbelievable. And you know what? This kid is dangerous out of the backfield in the flats on short passes, passes from quarterback in the flats. And they didn't even do much of that last night. Where do people see this kid? If you're not familiar with Travis Etienne, out of the backfield on a pass play. So he is tremendous, explosive. I was a little confused with Georgia Tech. I mean, Oliver, they have three quarterbacks that they wanted to play throughout the game, and they did play, but they started out the game in a good chunk of the first half with Oliver, and he can't throw the ball. He just can't throw. He's a runner, and he runs amazing. He's explosive as heck. And runs amok, but they had no balance in their offense, Georgia Tech. But Tech's a young team, as you know, Moose, with a young coach. They are a young program. They lost a lot of guys last year, seniors, so upperclassmen stuff. So we'll see how it works out. But to your point, Clemson looks like the team to beat in college football this year.
Well, and as we've discussed throughout the course of the offseason, the way that Dabo built it down there in Clemson, they churn out pros. They've got a great defensive coordinator. They've got a fun offense to watch. We know how talented Lawrence is at the quarterback position, the skill position players. You're going to get burn and run, and we've seen a number of those guys go on to the National Football League as well, Taz. It's just a it's just a marvelous, marvelous program right now that's clicking on all cylinders that seem to not be able to get in their own way. I mean, they've had, most consecutive 20-point wins in AP poll history. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's 11. I mean, they've been utterly and completely dominant. And last night they went in as a, 36.5, 37-point favorite, and they win the game by 38 points. So even with Lawrence not particularly throwing the ball that well, with the high expectations for him to be a Heisman Trophy candidate or winner at some point in time over the course of the next 2 years, he is a true sophomore. People were talking about last year, heard a number of NFL scouts say that probably the most talented or pure or cleanest freshman quarterback prospect that they've ever laid two eyes on. in, you know, in 20 or 30 years. I mean, that's how good of a player Trevor Lawrence is, and he showed it last year in the national championship game. So there's nothing not to like about Clemson, and you look at it and say, when exactly are they really going to be tested over the course of this regular season when you take a look at that Clemson Tiger schedule?
Yeah, no, no, good point.
It's going to come at some point in time. I mean, last year they got tested by Syracuse of all teams.
I was going to just mention Syracuse, you know, your alma mater. I really believe in the ACC. You know, that's a squad that could give Clemson, because you're going to the point, you can't just battle with everyone. Clemson just can't battle. And I do think they might hit a little bit of a wall when they play the Orangemen. I really do. I mean,
that's only in a couple of weeks, and that's up at the Dome in Syracuse. I think the last time they went up to the Dome in Syracuse, I think they might have lost that game. I thought they did. You're going back a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think they might have lost that game a couple years ago at Syracuse.
Syracuse is interesting. They always seem to have
27-24.
They usually have the number of Florida State, and they play Clemson hard, man. And it's so, I mean, you wouldn't think, you know, I mean, because of the ACC and stuff like that, and you talk about Clemson, who's this power, who's become this machine, and then here comes Syracuse, which, I'm telling you, I think this year, which is, you said in a couple of weeks, I'm not looking at the schedule, right? A couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, September 14th.
Yeah, I think Cuse could give them a run. I mean, I really do.
Texas A&M a week from tomorrow.
But they got them home, right? They
Correct.
Got them at Clemson.
The Aggies
are
in Clemson.
Right, right. So, by the way, which is an awesome place. I've never been to their stadium there at Clemson. But they did a nice little pregame. I don't know if you saw it. Maybe a lot of people don't watch the pregame, but in Death Valley there at the stadium with the Rock.
Yeah.
You know how they come with the buses and they come out down the hill. You know what I mean? Awesome entrance. Really is awesome. And Dabo, former guest of Taz and Moose, and a friend of ours. Yes. Anybody who's a guest on a show in the past, it's okay to say they're a friend.
Friend of the show, yeah.
Friend of the show, friend of ours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're going to pound beers with Dabo after a game.
Right.
But it's been on the show. He's our friend. We talked to him for 15 minutes. Anyway, Dabo makes sure he's the first one down the hill. First one.
Okay.
So that's their thing. I just wanted to point that out.
Why? Because he's the head coach?
He's the boss. Yeah, he's the head coach. He's
okay. So he has to make sure. Okay.
No, he's the boss. No, I'm just saying. I'm not shocked. I don't think anybody's shocked. But he got off that bus. He sprinted to the edge with a rock to the top of the hill. And when that cannon went off, whatever it is, they blow something off. Boom! He was gone down that hill. Man, all the kids followed by him.
Well, that's
cool.
Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously energetic. He's got a game plan. He executes the game plan. It's a lot of fun to watch and watching his Clemson team right now. As next couple weeks, Aggies at home, on the road, Syracuse are probably two of the tougher tests they'll take. You know, Florida State, they have them at home this season. You want to go late in the year, they have to go on the road at South Carolina against the Gamecocks. The Gamecocks open up their season this weekend on the road in North Carolina against the reborn Mac Brown and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Mm. So maybe South Carolina late in the year, and that's coming your way on the last weekend in November after Thanksgiving. But we're looking way, way ahead for the Clemson Tigers. I just have a hard time envisioning. I mean, and maybe Syracuse in a couple weeks can give him make him sweat a little bit.
Yeah.
But with the way and the explosiveness and what they have offensively, and with what they have at quarterback and running back and the receivers, I mean, they arguably, I clearly have three guys that are going to be big time NFL players at each and every one of those positions. It's hard for me to look at Clemson right now and not think that they're going to be one of those teams and probably the last team standing. Playing for a national championship.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. I mean, I do. I mean, obviously, as we know, you can't count out Alabama and Saban squad, but or Georgia or LSU. But I do think I think you're right. I think Clemson will be dominant again this year. Trevor Lawrence, just watching him play, I understand it was against Georgia Tech. I know they're a young team and all that, but Trevor Lawrence, man. And he showed not just his efficiency. You know, he was 13-23 for 168 yards with a touchdown. And he did have two INTs, but again, it's the first game of the year. But what I was impressed with is, I always known he was a good athlete last year, watched him play enough as a freshman, but really showed that his running ability against a young Georgia Tech defense, but they were a very fast defense that swarms, no pun intended. Yellow Jackets, you get it. But I'm telling you, Lawrence really showed with his legs what he can do. He's a threat out of that backfield. He's a big kid. I think he's like 6'6". He's kind of like Josh Allen, my quarterback with the Bills, but more accurate. So much more accurate.
Which is a big time.
It's a big thing.
Which is an issue for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Here is Lawrence talking about the fight that his team shows.
Respond to adversity. That's always good to see, especially with a team like this. We lost so many guys from last year, and we're a young team, but we got good leadership. And seeing us just kind of fight, and you know, some things didn't go our ways, but coming back and responding.
How about Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers? Well, he's infatuated with his team. Take a listen.
Just really proud of our team. And defensively, again, the turnovers that they created. We had stops on fourth down, the goal line stop, two picks. Super job on third down. I think they were like 5 of 16. So really, just hats off to the D.
Yeah, hats off to that defense and the fact of how well his team played. Cut two.
It's been really good. Again, these guys like each other. It's fun. The best thing for me is seeing other guys get excited about their teammates, you know, having success, making a play, coaching each other. I love that. I love that. And it's, you know, it's just awesome to see Justin Ross and T. Higgins and, you know, just so excited about Frank Lightson and, you know, seeing these guys get in the game. And when we got guys in on kickoff coverage and everybody's on the sideline going, all right, I got Donnelly. All right, I got this guy. And they're calling out guys that they're going to watch and hold accountable to them getting their job done. It's really cool.
Nah, it's easy. It's easy to understand, you know, why it works for Dabo Swinney. When you hear him speak, when you hear him get interviewed, where you watch the interactions that he has with his players, Taz, where they're willing to lay it on the line. There's a, you know, a youthful exuberance and energy that comes out of Dabo Swinney that really is tangible, and you get why it works. You understand it, and that team plays for him, and they play hard for him, and he puts them in a position to be successful. And he's trying to get the best out of each and every one of those players. So you get it and you understand it.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, you know, you mentioned earlier about defensive coordinator, I believe you mentioned, when Brett Venables does a great job with that defense under Dabo. And Dabo, it seems like he's a fun guy to play for. He's a fun guy, it seems. But him and his coaches, especially the guy Venables, because we saw Venables, he snapped on a couple of guys early in the game on his team, on his players. For blown assignments or whatnot, they're going to hold these kids accountable, and it seems like it's a fun place to play, but yet it's a tough place to play, and that's the balance you want, you know, for these young men as the coaching staff. And Venables, just as a defensive coordinator, he's great. He's been winning as defensive coordinator since 1999. I mean, he's a tremendous DC and does a great job. And he could probably get a head coaching job any place he wanted, but it just seems like he loves running defense and just does his thing. And he's doing great stuff under Dabo and his staff, you know, with the Tigers. So, yeah. I mean, and Moose, I'm with you. I think that they're going deep.
Yeah, and up next for them are going to be A&M, Texas, that is, 12th-ranked team in the land. And they had their way with Texas State last night, 41-7. And then one of maybe the other, you know, bigger matchups, or I'd say two of the, you know, better programs that faced off last night out in Cincinnati, Ohio, and that is the UCLA Bruins, a very, very young team, as we discussed with Ralph Russo yesterday, talking about Chip Kelly year two in UCLA, the well-paid Chip Kelly, and how successful he was collegially at the University of Oregon before ultimately went, you know, what led, you know, to ultimate failure in the National Football League with Philadelphia, even though he did have some success, but he did ultimately fail. And then the San Francisco 49ers rushing to take that job back in college football, we know, year two out at UCLA, as the Bruins fall to the Cincinnati Bearcats 24-14, and the Bruins quarterback, who, you know, fumbled the ball on two occasions without getting hit. You know, that's a problem watching that game last night. And you know, for Cincinnati, kind of a workman-like type of victory for the Bearcats, but I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, Kelly to come into college football and kind of, you know, take it, grab it by the ears and take it by storm once again. But a lot of the stuff that Chip Kelly, you know, as an innovator, when he first came to Oregon and what he was able to do, a lot of programs do it now. I mean, it's difficult to be innovator number two. Now you got to get, and I understand he's got to get his players that he wants to play his program, Taz, and you got to give him time. And I'm not saying it's over or anything of that nature, but A lot of people I know loved UCLA on the road last night against Cincinnati, and you saw their quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, struggle with a couple turnovers, which is a problem. Did make some very, very nice throws as well. You know, he's a true sophomore, high expectations coming in. We know the program, we know the offense that they're going to run, but initial success in Chip Kelly at UCLA, not hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah, true. And you make a great point. I mean, you know, what he did when he was running the show for the Ducks of Oregon was unbelievable. I mean, they were must-see TV. I mean, from the snazzy uniforms to the great players and the great playbook. I mean, they were just so, and Chip Kelly at the helm, so innovative, as you just laid out. And then obviously the NFL failures, and now you know, the whole thing with the UCLA Bruins here. I didn't expect it. I mean, do you know what was the line in this game?
Three.
You know? It was three. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, since the Bearcats were home, so that's a big plus. Obviously in college ball, especially the first week, so that's a big plus. You travel more or less across the country if you're UCLA to play these guys, so that's a big thing. But you got to be prepared to go. I mean, and I wasn't shocked that UCLA lost, but I could see why you know some people that liked UCLA on the road.
Well, line moved. I mean, initially it opened up as a 6.5-point spread for Cincinnati, and the line went precipitously down. Now 6.5, we're going back when lines first opened, which is probably about 6-7 weeks ago for college football for the opening weekend, Taz. But, you know, there was, you
know. 6-7 weeks ago? That's when the lines?
I think it was.
I don't follow those.
I think the lines. Yeah, I think they first came out for college football about maybe 5 weeks ago.
Wow.
Maybe I'm overstating.
Is it normally that
they usually long? Give you a stretch, yeah. They usually give you a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't come out like the week previous because they want to get all the action. You go out to Vegas in July or what have you, you know, and you're sitting out there by the pool and then you're looking at week one and say, I want to play UCLA, right?
Yeah.
So you can go play it, you know. So, you know, they want
to. 2 months away, you're locked into UCLA versus Cincinnati.
Right.
In Vegas in July, right?
Exactly.
But it happens.
But it does. People play it.
I know that.
Funny. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy, right?
So the line moved. I mean, so there was a lot of money on UCLA, is the point that I was making.
Yeah.
You know, they play poorly. I think those that are going to write Chip Kelly off at UCLA after, you know, not necessarily just last night, after what was a bad first year, Taz, I do think you got to be careful because he's a really good coach. His personality might not work in the National Football League, Taz, but he's a guy that you want to show the respect that Chip Kelly has around, say, coaches. You know, he's a guy that Bill Belichick brought in to his New England program at times because he wanted to learn how Chip Kelly was running his offense as efficiently and as quickly as he was at the University of Oregon. I mean, that is, you know, when you're getting called by the maestro, and you're getting called in by Bill Belichick and asked to come over and watch practice and wants to learn what you're doing, I mean, that says it all. I mean, it really does in terms of what you've been able to do and what you can do. Now it's a matter of finding ways to win because, you know, it's only a matter of time. You got to start winning when you take over UCLA.
Yeah, you do. And here's the thing too, Moose, and I know you know this. Like that Pac-12. Okay, that's a tough conference.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a funky conference. There's a lot of teams, a lot of programs that win out of nowhere. You know, from your Arizona
that's
States
true.
To your Colorados to your Utahs. I mean, you know, it's a who's who there. So you know, it's not like you could. It's not you can't just sail through the Pac-12 or think you're gonna. It's not that. It's not going to work like that. You know, their schedule's tough. They got Oklahoma in a couple of weeks. Okay, that's going to be a very ambitious task. You know,
that's a good way to put it.
Really, you know, I mean, they got. I was
lining up for a butt whooping.
I'm telling you, dude, they got that SC on this thing here on their schedule. They got Arizona State, obviously in conference, and Colorado in conference. So I mean, you know, they got a tough schedule. So Chip Kelly definitely has got his hands full. I mean, but you know, he's prepared for it. But I think the point you made earlier at the top of your commentary on this game was apropos because he's just got to get his players under him, and then you got to figure. You know, you got to figure he's going to win more, and he could win this year. Who knows? But maybe he needs a couple seasons. But the thing is, otherwise, he's going to be looked at as a one-trick pony.
Well, that's it.
You know?
I mean, you're right, Taz, and you've got to become the guy. There was one point in time, remember, everyone wanted to play Oregon. You know, the uniforms, the upbeat, you know, the up-tempo offense, what they were doing at teams. They weren't just beating teams, Taz. They were embarrassing teams.
Smashing teams.
You know, and they were kind of like the cool team of college football.
They really were.
Now, they've taken a drop-off after Kelly and then Herzlick, right, took over for Kelly, and eventually he got fired because the program started to kind of wane a little bit in the recruiting process, and now we know you got Marco up there that is running that team, Mario Cristobal that's running that program, run that organization, and now you look at it for Chip Kelly and UCLA. Can he bring that same side kind of excitement level to UCLA that he did at Oregon? That's tough to do.
Yeah,
I mean it really is. It really is tough to do because you're kind of rebranding yourself. We talk about like how college coaches and the respect we have for Dabo, what he was able to do to Clemson. Can Chip Kelly do what he did at Oregon? Can he do it now, round two at UCLA?
Yeah. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, definitely, and we're going to have to see. I mean, but you know what? I mean, I want to think he's not a one-trick pony, but I don't know, man. I mean, it's been a rough go for him from the NFL to UCLA. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, when Russo's telling you he's not getting five-star recruits and you're at UCLA out of Los Angeles, I mean, that's a problem. I mean, it is still UCLA. That's a really good school as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the middle, right there in the Los, right outside of the city of Los Angeles. Yep. Ralph Russo tells you, you're right. He knows his stuff, so he's got it locked in. He's locked in.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Another day, another Jerry Jones quote. We'll mix a little NFL into the conversation as the preseason's over, Ted. I mean, it is over.
Got me as I was taking a sip of coffee.
I know, nice. I threw you off.
yeah, no, we'll finally, the preseason's over. Finally.
Yes, we'll get into that. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On a busy Friday morning, Taz and the Moose with you. We got a lot to get to. We got college picks coming your way a little later on the program. We are going to make the big announcement of the final five contestants and then the final two. Who's going to be part of the Taz and the Moose Fantasy Football League? The draft, I believe, is next Tuesday night. I think I saw online 6 o'clock Eastern time.
Which draft? Our draft. All right.
Correct.
But is it too late for people to get this stuff in?
Well,
it's too late, right? Yeah,
I think it is. Right. The deadline was by this morning, okay, so by 6 o'clock. Right. Yeah, so it's a little late right now.
All right. No problem.
We don't throw Biseglia off.
No.
He's set, locked in. He's like,
all right. We got, you know, because we got
12 minutes, I guess.
We got 12 minutes to get it.
Right.
No. But it's coming down to the nitty gritty. So Mike's team, the research poll team.
Correct.
They pulled things.
That is exactly right. We got John Foster. He's got the updates this morning in for Bogish. What's going on, Johnny?
Not much, guys.
Not so fast, John. Yeah. So let's just slow you down right away out of the box, John Fast. So you and Moose had a little convo right before we went live here in the segment about a little flank steak marinade, which I'm extremely intrigued in. Moose is a tremendous cook. I've had some of his barbecue that he brings it to work here. He does a great job. So if he's praising your marinade for your flank steak, I think you don't need to share the secret ingredients here. But I love flank steak.
So Taz would like the recipe as well.
I would.
Yes,
but
of course.
Can you share with us?
It is delicious.
And our listening audience, like, what's your main base in this? I stumped them red.
No, you didn't. I'm trying to think.
No, I'm joking.
I could give you I won't give you the measurements, but the ingredients, it's pretty simple.
Well, you're just going to share it just like that? Just straightforward your head?
It's not mine. If it was mine, you know, I would keep it locked up.
This guy's just on his air over here.
Well, how's this? There's molasses in it.
Oh, right there. That's a heavy deal. Right out of the box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I use it on skirt steak. It works on flank steak, which I've done as well. But skirt steak, I think, really holds a marinade well, fatty and.
Well, when you cook and you too, Moose, you guys, when you do your flank steak, you do it thin. Some people cut it thick. Like
I like it thin.
You like my wife does it real thin too. So John, you too thin?
Yes.
So the marinade will hold.
And you cook it quick.
Right, of course.
Yeah, very quick. Okay, well, some people, my goodness.
And I'm telling you, like, when I made it for my family, my wife's family, earlier on in the summer, or late spring, I would say summer, last time I saw John, it's been a while, it was the first thing that it all went.
Dancing on the streets.
It was just, as soon as I put it down, someone had it, it was all gone.
Gonski.
I must say, you know, again, it's not mine, so it's not really bragging.
You don't have to be phenomenal. Just it say is. It's yours. No one's going to
claim it. No.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Out of respect. Well, you know what? It was my mother's friend. She's no longer with us, so I honor.
Now you're getting deep in the woods here. Okay,
I
that's
honor Norma by saying
Norma, we love you. God
rest Norma's,
you.
It's Norma's wonderful recipe.
But listen, I also, see, I have, do you like sangria?
Very much.
Okay, well.
You want to trade?
Well, I have a sangria recipe that will knock your drawers off. So that I won't share publicly. Moose has it.
Mikey
B has it. I will give it to you off air, but you have to give me the marinade for the...
It's a deal. You're on.
You got it.
Wow.
That's it.
That's, just came to terms.
Very nice.
Quick.
In fact, I'll have it Saturday. I might not be here for my Saturday evening shift.
Right.
So,
right.
We know. I'll blame you and not... All right. I'll blame the sangria.
No problem. Sangria is outstanding. You'll get bombed.
And it's Taz's secret recipe.
Yes.
He invented it himself.
Well, look for it.
With some help from good folks up in Cape Cod.
Almost.
He worked on it for years when he was on the road.
Yeah, right.
Just in testing. Between matches. He's
in hotels,
knocking on the hotel room door. Taz, where are you? I'm working on my sangria. It's almost there.
I don't know if I should use peach schnapps or ginger root. You know, so
that would be a tremendous scene.
I know, right? Crazy. Yeah. Got big tubs, put in a bathtub, stirring it like with a big baseball bat.
Right.
Like a witch's brew.
Yeah, witch's brew, churning it like a Viking.
Here's Sabu.
Yeah. Well, he was taking other things in his body.
I understand
not
that. He's like,
a little potent.
How do you like this sangria? It tastes good. It's not there just yet.
It's not almost there. It took years, John, for me to get the sangria now. Moose is right.
But yes, Taz will give you the sangria, and I need the recipe. I was thinking about the other day because I made it, and I was missing something. Oh. And
did you put molasses in it?
I think I forgot the molasses.
It's a pretty key ingredient.
I think I forgot the molasses.
That's it's not
off.
A lot, but that kind of ties it
I'm
all
like,
together.
I got it. And then when I heard you're in today for Bogish, who's out this morning, and filling in doing updates, I'm like, I got to get that recipe from Fast.
So besides molasses, there's a couple other ingredients?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like how many more ingredients?
I don't know, 5 or 6. It's pretty basic.
Yeah. I think
you're really not selling this hard. I got to be honest with you. Moose is selling the hell out of it. I trust Moose's judgment.
Oh, it's really good.
But you're like, it's no big deal.
I've been making it for 30 years.
Right, don't get hot. I'm just saying. It's good stuff, bro. We're trying to put you over.
No, Taz, you and your wife, you guys will love it.
I'll tell you what. So?
If you don't, I'd be absolutely stunned.
I'll call in Tuesday and find out how you did if you make it this weekend.
Call in where?
Here.
Oh, we don't take calls from people who work here. Sorry. You could just,
we
see you.
I want to hear how it is.
I'll quit just to call
I'll
in.
Quit the job.
Just to hear Taz's reaction to the infamous
I'm
marinade.
Just quit, and then I'll try to get rehired after I call him. Okay, got it.
Go ahead, John.
All right, guys. Four games last night on college football's top 25 scoreboard, including the defending champs who opened up their season and ACC play at home against Georgia Tech.
And Lawrence going to keep it, fakes it to him, turns it upfield, and into the end zone goes Trevor Lawrence for the touchdown. So not a throwing touchdown by 16, but a running touchdown of 6 yards. And Clemson grabs a 6-0 lead here at the 11:52 mark, first quarter.
That's Don Munson on the Clemson Tigers radio network. Trevor Lawrence, an early first quarter touchdown run. Clemson rolled 52-14. Not a dazzling start for Lawrence, though. He was 13 of 23 passing for 168 yards. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Travis Etienne, though, a huge day on the ground. 12 carries, 205 yards. And 3 touchdowns. Meanwhile, the Pac-12 favorites opened up on the road as number 14 Utah pulled away from BYU 30-12. Zach Moss, 29 carries, 188 yards, and a score. 17th-ranked Central Florida blew past Florida A&M 62-0. Notre Dame transfer Brandon Wimbush got off to a nice start. He was 12 of 23 for 168 and 2 scores. And number 12, Texas A&M hammered Texas State 41-7. Kellen Mond threw for 3 touchdowns and ran for another. Next up for the Aggies, a trip to Death Valley next Saturday as they take on top-ranked Clemson. The Dolphins open up their season next Sunday at home against the Ravens. They'll do so with Ryan Fitzpatrick starting at QB. as the 36-year-old beats out Josh Rosen for the job. Browns running back Kareem Hunt underwent sports hernia surgery yesterday. He's expected to be fully recovered by the time he returns from that 8-game suspension. Bills and Browns pulled off a trade, Buffalo sending starting guard Wyatt Teller and a 2021 seventh-round pick to Cleveland for 2020 fifth and sixth-round draft choices. And the NFL preseason wrapped up last night. Josh Gordon made his preseason debut for the Patriots in their 2-point loss to the Giants. Reinstated by the NFL a couple of weeks ago, Gordon had 2 catches for 30 yards. To baseball, the Cubs finished off a 3-game sweep of the Mets, 4-1. Victor Caratini.
John, don't mention that game.
You have to mention all the scores.
Oh, no.
Not all the scores, but the important one. That's an important one.
Wow. You lost 6 in a row now. Five out of the wild card.
Why, John? Why
Victor Caratini, homer twice, drove in all 4. John Lester, the win, 6
innings.
Even Chris
Bryant after the game was like, I was surprised we swept him.
Moose is just laying out the whole update, and then he heard that Mets-Cubs sentence, and we heard a whoo. Happy Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you talk about being surprised.
What are you talking about? I'm surrounded by Mets fans.
I know.
Lester got the win.
And after every win, it was like the World Series was just won.
Well, we weren't really banging our chest.
Oh, my God.
What Mets fan doesn't bang their chest?
Right.
So Moose is right.
How dangerous is this team going to be
Mikey
come October?
B, you know, once they were winning a lot.
Nobody wants to play him.
We're chirping. He's Yankee
Nobody
fan.
Wants to play him.
We're just pounding. Right. Like, we're acting like we won the World Series.
It really was.
And then it's over.
I've lived in North Jersey my whole life. I know what it's like when the Mets get hot. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
You're a Mets fan?
No.
Okay.
And that's why I noticed it, because it drives me nuts.
You're a Yankee fan.
I am, yeah. And I don't really have a problem with the Mets. I just have a problem with the fans when they win.
It's the rare occasion we get a fellow Yankee fan in here in the studio.
I was just going to say, look.
I'm surprised they let you open the door, John.
It might be the first time I ever admitted it, that's why.
But listen,
it was the flank steak recipe.
It's kind of not what you said. But, John, what you said is not true. Let's be honest. You're saying Mets fans are worse than Yankee fans. You win. Yankee fans are the most arrogant, egotistical, entitled sports fans
Let me defend. Hold on a second. Have I come in? You and I, we've been doing a show now for 20 months.
There it is.
Right?
As opposed to 2 years.
Just short of 2 years.
All right.
Hopefully we're past 2 years, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We got to see what happens.
I understand that.
All right, so
but hopefully we make it past 2 years, correct?
Yeah, right. I hope we make it to Monday.
Yeah, well, we'll make it till Monday. But the point being is, when have I come in and pounded my chest about the Yankees?
Well, you don't.
Hold on. I defend Sterling. You have a problem with Sterling's home run calls. When do I come
he's
in?
He's annoying.
But secondly, do I come in and tell you how? Do I come in on a daily basis and be like, man, how great are the Yankees?
Never once.
No, you have not done that.
I have not
that.
Done
That's
that
true.
Once.
But what you do is worse. You know what you do?
What
it's
do I
passive,
do?
Passive aggressive ego, Yankee ego. Passive-aggressive Yankee ego. I've lived with it my whole life around Yankee fans, I know.
My wife's a Yankee fan. Mets credit. You're like, I don't need to hear from a Yankee fan. That's wrong. I'm a baseball fan. I'm not just a Yankee fan.
No, you are a Yankee
fan. I give the Mets credit. DeGrom last night can't give up that 3-run homer in the 7th.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, dude. Guys,
if you live anywhere and don't root for the local team, you're going to hate that other team. That's how it is.
True.
That's my experience.
Only thing is, we got is Ramos. His hit streak.
22 games. That's the longest in the majors this year, which is amazing when you think about it.
It really is.
Joe DiMaggio, here we come.
So real quick, we'll wrap this up. John Lester got the win, 6 innings of 1-run ball, and he says what you were alluding to, Moose. Marcus Stroman, Noah Syndergaard, Jacob DeGrom. Those were the 3 pitchers the Cubs beat on the road, no less. That's something they can build off of.
This whole series was huge for us, facing those 3 guys coming in here and getting a sweep and we all know our road woes, and to do that against those 3 guys is huge going home.
Yeah, just 28 and 39 away from Wrigley, Cubs have now won 5 straight on the road. Guys.
All right, Johnny. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, Sean.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Jerry Jones and the latest, what he has had to say, and a fantasy football Taz of the Moose update.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The 5 will be revealed. We'll get into that next as well. Taz Moose, it's a Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, of course. That's what that is. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So, fantasy football drafts are happening left and right. We do know that. It's a billion-dollar industry. So we have a Taz of the Moose, year two of the Fantasy Football League. We've moved it from a 10-team to a 12-team league.
Yeah. We're getting big,
so
baby.
Those that have worked on the show constitute and work on the show on a day-and-day basis, but affiliated with the show, make up 10. We opened up two spots for the listening audience, for you,
yes,
our fans,
yes,
that are here on an everyday basis, that download the podcast, whose numbers are just off the charts, who are there for the 2 days of video, and those days, the downloads and the watch and the stream was fantastic on those two glorious days of video.
Amazing 2 days.
Right around the Super Bowl. We all remember those days. The day that Mark Chernoff commented on my hair and said, look, now I know why you're on video today. Look at your head of hair. I said, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
That might have been the peak.
I brush it on other days as well. I don't come in looking homely, do I?
No, you actually don't. I remember. What are you talking about? I forgot about that, but that's actually right. I think that those 2 days of video, I can't speak for you, Moose.
Right.
You've had a lot of success, and I humbly say I have also.
Yes.
But this I will tell you.
Yeah.
I think those 2 days of video might have been the peak, the epipex. Might even be a word of my career. That might have been the penultimate.
I agree with you.
Of my career,
it's going to be right in my obituary.
That's it. And then just as fast as it came,
it was gone.
We drop right down.
Right,
just quick.
I know.
No video.
No.
Let's go on. And on.
All right.
We could do the whole. Whatever.
I know.
Let's
stop. We got a lot more than just 8 minutes left in this of content on this one.
What's happening?
What's
going on?
Here we go. We got the five finalists, correct?
Yeah, man.
We thank everyone out there. I mean, overwhelming.
This thing going on my throat.
overwhelming response for the last 3-4 days since we opened it up. Two spots to the Taz and the Moose Fantasy Football League. And we asked you, the listener, to send us, be creative, whether it be by word, by mouth, however way you wanted to do it. Be creative. Why you should be a part of the Taz and the Moose Fantasy Football League. All right. So, finalist number one, Joe, I think he's from Louisville, correct?
Yeah.
I think he is.
He was a truck driver going through Louisville at the time.
Correct. Going through Louisville. Drives truck throughout the course of the week. Here is Joseph, the caller, making a pitch yesterday. Take a listen.
For my family, I work a lot.
Right.
And I will take Sundays off if you guys will let me on your team. I work on my birthday. I work on Christmas. I work on New Year's. I work nonstop. I'm going to talk to my wife. She's got to take the kids to school, okay?
All right. Yeah, sure.
When she gets them to school, I will log on. I'm pretty sure she'll say yes because she knows I don't do fantasy anymore. I don't do anything, man. I pay attention to my
family
and work.
You're just working. I got you.
That's it, man.
All right, there you go. I was cut off. Not uncommon.
Tough edit.
Even the audio cuts, I get cut off. It's amazing. It just never can't get a word in at home and can't get a word in here.
Even on tape. I did not edit that.
I know. Okay, so Joe, the truck driver, driving through Louisville, making his pitch. Here's Bradley King. He hopped on Twitter and he sent us a little video. Take a listen.
So I understand you want people to beg and plead and get on their knees. Well, I'm doing something that's illegal, but I do want to be part of your fantasy league. So take that for what it is. I'll definitely love to be a part of it. I'm driving to Greensboro, North Carolina to buy some cars. Stay listening to you know who. So take your pick. Pick me.
Here's what you love about Bradley King. Number one is he's driving a car when he's doing it, which is highly illegal. Number two is he's listening to us. We're on in the background when he's recording the audio.
Yeah.
He poked fun a little bit. Very, very creative. Nice job by Bradley.
I agree. Bradley King, he's looking good right now. That was a good job by him. Then we go to the Twitter, and the great John Dean at YRC21, he said, I would send pepperoni rolls from the great state of West Virginia, eat what the coal miners eat. Okay, and then we saw a picture of this, and I got to be honest, they did not look that good. John Dean, sir, I know you support the show very much. Mike, you saw these things. You're an Uber Eats driver, so you know what food, good food is.
I thought they looked good.
You thought they looked good?
I'd eat it.
All right, I don't
creativity.
Know.
Creativity.
They didn't look too hot. Listen, John Dean, I know you support everything here on Taz and Moose. I believe you also support stuff on the Taz show, but I got to tell you, you cannot send or even offer to send pepperoni rolls from West Virginia to two guys from New York? What are you kidding me?
Well, right.
Come on.
Cheese and cured meat through the mail.
Can I interject?
That's a good point.
West Virginia has a great selection of pepperoni rolls. I've been there. I've
I
had
didn't
them.
Know
They're
that.
Excellent.
I've had
them in West Virginia.
Been
They're
to Wheeling,
good.
West Virginia twice. I wrestled there. Quick stay, Moose. In and out, Jones.
In and out.
Yeah. So
I know guys that went to Morgantown, Cole and Syracuse games. They were not treated all that well.
There you go.
They're not treated all that
Dude,
well.
Listen, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Because
the West Virginia fan could get a little rough.
Yeah, they don't like
the
Yankees.
Here's the other thing I learned, Taz. I think Mike will defend anything at any time.
What?
We knocked the rolls.
Mike's no, I but
delicious
I've had
selection of pepperoni. The cured meats in West Virginia are amazing.
I can't
You've never had
that.
Listen, I've been to Italy and I've been to West Virginia. The pepperoni in West Virginia. As good as pepperoni you'll get in Rome.
I have not been to Italy. I can't confirm it.
Mike, it's a joke.
I know I'm being funny. Back.
I mean, jeez. All right. All right.
I'm just...
Benny G on Twitter, at JBan.
No, didn't. Well, I mean, Mike, he basically went on his high horse about the pepperoni selection in West Virginia.
Well, he said he thought it looked good. I mean...
No, he said... No, not the pepperoni roll.
Oh, he said he actually had pepperoni.
You'll have the finest selection of pepperoni.
No pepperoni rolls in West Virginia. I've had them. They're good.
Mike
I'm not
is,
saying they're as
but
good
Mike
as Italy.
Is a food guy. He is. He's the one who turned
he
me
is.
On to the bread and the ham that I eat every
that's
day.
Right.
You know
why? That's healthy ham
I know my
low-sodium
bread. Sodium ham.
And there's no cornstarch in the bread. And it's like...
I know.
Like Play-Doh, but I love it.
Listen, if it was that big of a deal, I would have told you to get the low-sodium ham. We've been having them for 25 years. Mike didn't. Like, Taz's like, what?
This is different.
There's not as much salt in
this
ham?
This is a different type of ham. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Russer ham. Coconut ham.
We'll do a 1v1 of the hams.
Oh, I love pork.
All right. No problem. What's number three?
So, anyway, so we got Benny G., no relation to Kenny. That was funny. I guess I got it. At JBan88. That's JEEBAN88. I listen every morning and love the game. Plus, I want a piece of Taz and the Moose. Bragging rights on them fellas would be a dream. Ha ha. Then he put hashtag Taz and the Moose Fantasy League. Why must people find it, Moose, that they could just hashtag? There is no hashtag. He made a hashtag. Hashtag Taz and Moose Fantasy League.
Yeah.
But people that do that don't realize the hashtags work when other people utilize that hashtag.
Oh.
That's how... Seems like you didn't know either. That's how
no,
it works.
No, I didn't know. I was playing into it.
Oh, I see. You're playing along. Jeez. All right. Jareth Hunter. At Jareth Hunter. Okay, simple. He's got the Twitter.
Good for him. Not confusing.
Yeah, I know, right?
At Smokey Bones Jareth.
I would love to be part of hashtag Taz and Moose Fantasy League. There must be a hashtag.
There you
Moose.
Go.
Fantasy Football League. I would love to be part of hashtag Fantasy Football League. I have been a fan of the show since day one and have been a longtime fan of hashtag the Taz show. And honestly, I can't find anyone to do Fantasy League with me. LOL. Oh. So basically, this poor guy's got nobody. That's sad.
That is sad.
He's got nobody to be in the league with. I've been there, Jareth. We're considering you.
Well, there you go. So, Joseph Bradley, the great John Dean, Benny G, and Jared. Those are your five finalists. We'll announce the winners, the two winners.
Yeah.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour is part of the three.
Can't wait. Because
that's going to be a big headline.
Huge.
We go camping. We do that next. Taz, move CBS Sports Radio.